Welcome to episode 1240 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? One of the most central aspects of Jesus's ministry was healing. If Jesus spent roughly one-third of his recorded ministry healing the sick, what would that look like in our modern world of healthcare debates, mental health crises, and medical technology? In Matthew 4, verse 23, we're told that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Every disease, every sickness, among the people. Notice what's not mentioned here. Insurance verification, copays, pre-existing condition clauses, or ability to pay. Jesus didn't ask for medical histories, run credit checks, or require referrals from primary care physicians. But here's what's fascinating. Jesus's approach to healing wasn't just about fixing bodies. In Mark 2, when a paralyzed man is lowered through the roof by his friends, the first thing Jesus says isn't, "Take up your mat and walk." It's this,
"Son, your sins are forgiven."
The religious leaders are scandalized. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus makes a profound connection between spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. He asks this,
"Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'?"
Then he heals the man completely, body and soul. Jesus understood something that modern medicine is just rediscovering. You can't separate physical health from mental health, mental health from spiritual health, or individual health from community health. Everything is connected. So as we debate healthcare policies, mental health resources, and public health measures, we might ask, how would someone who made healing central to his mission approach the health challenges of our time? Let's consider the most obvious question. If Jesus provided free healthcare to everyone who asked, how might he view our current healthcare debates? The scope of Jesus's healing ministry was remarkable. Matthew 15, verses 30 to 31 tells us, "Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing." But Jesus didn't just heal physical ailments. He regularly addressed what we would now recognize as mental health issues. In Mark 5, he encounters a man possessed by demons, someone so troubled that he lived among the tombs, cutting himself and crying out in anguish. The community had tried to restrain him with chains, but nothing worked. Jesus healed him, and when people came to see what had happened, they found the man sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. This man went on to become an evangelist, sharing his story throughout the region. In Luke 8, Jesus freed a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When the synagogue leader complained that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, Jesus responded,
"Should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?"
Jesus saw suffering, whether physical, mental, or spiritual, as bondage that needed to be broken. He never told people their suffering was their fault, or that they should just pray harder. He acted to relieve it. Applied to modern healthcare debates, Jesus would likely view access to both physical and mental healthcare as a basic human right, not a privilege earned through employment or wealth. He'd probably ask,
"If I healed everyone who came to me regardless of their ability to pay, why would my followers create systems that deny healing based on economic status?"
Jesus would likely be particularly concerned about mental health access. He encountered many people who were isolated, traumatized, and struggling with what we'd now recognize as depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. His consistent response was compassion and healing, never shame or dismissal. This brings us to one of our most contentious recent debates, vaccine mandates and public health measures. How would Jesus approach the tension between individual freedom and collective responsibility for health? Jesus's approach to contagious disease provides some insight. In Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4, when Jesus heals a man with leprosy, he tells him,
"Go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
This wasn't just religious ritual. Under Mosaic law, priests functioned as public health officials, determining when someone with a contagious disease was safe to rejoin the community. Jesus respected this system because he understood that individual healing and community health were connected. Throughout his ministry, Jesus showed concern for both individual needs and community well-being. In Matthew 22, verse 39, his second greatest commandment was this:
"Love your neighbor as yourself."
This principle of equal concern for self and others suggests that Jesus would evaluate public health measures by asking,
"Do these policies reflect genuine love for both individual freedom and community safety?"
Jesus would likely support measures that genuinely protect vulnerable populations, especially given his consistent focus on defending the weak and defenseless. But he'd probably oppose measures motivated by fear, control, or political advantage rather than genuine concern for health. The key question Jesus might ask about any public health policy would be,
"Is this motivated by love for our neighbors, especially the most vulnerable, or by something else?"
Jesus's healing ministry also provides insight into how we might think about medical technology and artificial intelligence in healthcare. Jesus's healings were deeply personal encounters. In Mark 7, verse 33, when healing a deaf man with a speech impediment, Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. This wasn't the most efficient method. Jesus could have healed with a word, as he did in other cases. But he chose physical touch, personal connection, individual attention. When the woman with chronic bleeding touched his cloak in Luke 8, Jesus could have let the healing happen anonymously. Instead, he stopped and asked,
"Who touched me?"
When the woman came forward trembling, Jesus said,
"Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace."
He transformed a desperate, anonymous touch into a personal encounter that restored not just her health, but her dignity and place in the community. Jesus would likely embrace medical technology that genuinely serves human flourishing, but he'd insist that technology never replace the human dignity, personal attention, and compassionate care that he modeled. He might ask about AI in healthcare.
"Does this technology serve patients or profits? Does it increase access to care or create new barriers? Does it enhance human connection or replace it?"
Jesus' approach to death and dying also provides insight into end-of-life medical decisions. He didn't avoid death or pretend it wasn't real, but he also didn't see death as the ultimate enemy. When his friend Lazarus died, John tells us simply, Jesus wept. He grieved the reality of death and its impact on those who mourn. But he also demonstrated power over death by raising Lazarus from the grave. On the cross, Jesus experienced the full reality of human suffering and death. But Luke records his final words,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
Even in death, Jesus maintained his relationship with God and his concern for others, asking God to forgive his executioners. Jesus's approach suggests that death is not something to be avoided at all costs, but neither is it something to be rushed toward. The focus should be on maintaining dignity, relationships, and spiritual peace. Applied to end-of-life care, Jesus would likely support measures that minimize suffering while maximizing opportunities for reconciliation, peace, and spiritual preparation. He'd probably oppose both the prolonging of life through extraordinary means, when healing is impossible, and the premature ending of life, when healing is still possible. Jesus might ask,
"Are we serving the person who is dying, or are we serving our own fear of death? Are we helping them prepare spiritually and emotionally, or are we just managing their medical condition?"
Jesus would probably measure our healthcare systems not by their efficiency or profitability, but by how they serve the most vulnerable members of society. Jesus understood that healing involves the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and that individual health is inseparable from community health. Father, we thank you for the healing ministry of Jesus, who showed us that you care for our whole being. Help us to build systems of care that reflect his compassion, ensuring that every person has access to the health and dignity you desire for them. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.